You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
your own your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let
this
be taken away from you? No, you're
not. No way. You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome in to Inside Ben Davis Football here on WBDG. I'm your host, Zion Brown, joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. And we're starting this episode talking about last week's Lawrence North game at home, in which the Giants fell 27-24 in overtime. So, Coach, you had a couple of opportunities to kick field goals in the first half, and you opted to go for it on fourth down. What went into those decisions?
Yeah, I think for us, it was just where our comfort level was in terms of our kicking game. It's easy to look at those decisions on a Friday and say, geez, you know, what's the thought process there? But, you know, for us, it's been the evolution and the growth of trying to develop a kicker that we felt comfortable with. And really, you look at some of the situations where the ball was, you know, the first opportunity we had on the opening drive of the game. Ball was sitting on the right hash inside the 5 yard line, or right at the 5 yard line. That's a tough angle. It's a tough angle for where our kicking game is right now. Had some other opportunities, you know, later where we felt like, you know, borderline on range. And that's an area of our team that we're trying to develop day in and day out. And I feel like our special teams coordinator, Coach Harris, Coach Douglas, and Coach Ferris, all three of those guys are working to get that better day in and day out. I think you saw a little bit of the fruits of their labor with the way Angel kicked, situationally during the game. So it's just an area of our football team that we got to continue to work on and grow and get ready for the tournament as the season goes on.
Coach, it was a low-scoring first half, but defensively played very well, I thought, in the first half. Talk about your team's performance there in the early going.
I really thought it was a tale of two teams in the first half. When you look at what we did defensively, we took a really explosive offense in Lawrence North and held them to 3 points. Had two drives. That opening drive, they got across the 50-yard line. Their first two drives, they got across the 50-yard line on us. Our defense, you know, we got a fourth down stop, fourth and short stop on the first drive of the game. Second drive of the game, they ended up missing a field goal. And so, you know, our defense just gained momentum from there. I felt like we did some really good things schematically. We kept McCauley from beating us with his legs. Didn't let Omar Cooper get loose and beat us. And then you look in the scoring drive they had at the end of the half. You know, they have two long completions on there. You know, they pick up a 3rd and 11. Then they pick up a post route there that we were just, you know, we were off enough that you put a Big Ten quarterback with a Power 5 wide receiver, if you give them enough space, they're going to be able to take advantage of it. But, you know, all in all, I felt like our secondary did a really nice job. Our pass rush did a really nice job. We played the run well for the most part in the first half. And you look up and we have 200 yards of offense and 7 points. And, I felt like that first half was the difference in the game. We just let them hang around. And in some ways, you give credit to Lawrence North and their ability to get stops defensively. But, you know, for us, that can't continue to happen. We've been bad in the red zone this whole season, really, when you go back and look at it. We got to do a better job finishing in the red zone. And, there's a lot of layers to that right now from a team standpoint, from a program standpoint for us offensively. And so that's been a huge point of emphasis for us in practice here the first 2 days of the week. But, you know, when you have four trips inside the 30 and you score 7 points, you let teams on our schedule hang around, and you let an explosive offense like Lawrence North hang around. And, you know, we saw what happened in the second half from them offensively. They put up 24 points in the second half, and, you know, we were in a dogfight, and, you know, we felt like, you convert one of those opportunities, you know, then maybe we don't go to overtime. You convert two of those opportunities, and, you know, it's a 21-3 game at halftime. That game's probably a completely different game in the second half. So, we certainly left a lot on the table there Friday, and you got to give credit to Lawrence North for generating and getting those stops and then coming out in the second half and doing what they did.
Beattie had some big injuries to key positions, with quarterback Juwan Swanson going down along with running back Brandon Fuentes. So what's the status of those two guys as far as this week goes?
Yeah, both of those guys have practiced Monday and Tuesday of this week. And so, you know, Brandon went out with a shoulder. Juwan went out with a couple different things. You know, then Devin Wiley goes down with cramps. And so, you know, we were rolling with Titus, who, you know, had a great week of preparation and practice. And, you know, he stepped in as a senior and we felt like did a really nice job for us. You know, when, and so, you know, for us, we got to continue to get better. And we feel like we're going to have our full complement of players, knock on wood. You know, it's only Tuesday night, so a lot can happen between now and Friday. But we feel like we're going to have our full complement of players going up to Carmel on Friday.
You kind of had a situation in this game where it kind of got into a pinball game there in the fourth quarter. You would score, they would score, came back. But once again, I think we saw some resilience out of the Giants. So what continues to be the key with that?
Well, you know, I feel like we have tough kids. You know, we have tough kids that just got to continue to work. You know, we had an opportunity in overtime. You know, we won the toss. We went on defense first. Everything was set up for us. Our defense, Lawrence North, thought that they were just going to be able to get in their heavy personnel and pound away at us, and our kids dug in and got stops. Stopped first down, second down, and then, you know, we turn around on third down. Dalen makes a great play on the dig route to Omar. Dalen makes a great play breaking it up at the goal line there, and, you know, we force field goal, and it's like, shoot, you know, we got this. We're 10 yards away from getting out of here with the wind, and we just didn't convert. You know, we just didn't convert down in the goal line red zone area, and it was a microcosm of our entire night. You know, we did it 2 out of 5 times inside the 30, and you're not gonna beat a good football team like Lawrence North going 2 for 5 in scoring opportunities inside the 30. So, you know, it starts with me. It's on me first and foremost, to be honest with you. And so I have to make sure that we're better prepared as a football team to execute down there. I have to make sure our kids have a better sense of focus and a better sense of urgency down there. And you know, we got to continue to get better as a football team, and, you know, we're working to do that right now this week in practice.
And as far as your team now, there's 3 games left in the regular season. You guys are 2-4. What do you think are some major areas which there's room to improve, and that overall, if you can improve in those areas, will make you guys a much better team?
Well, we just talked about one of them a bunch. You know, we got to be better in the scoring. We got to be better when we have scoring opportunities. You know, we've been down inside the 30. We're executing at a less than 50% rate right now for the season inside the 30. And when you get Mick defenses on their heels and you're able to move the ball on Mick defenses, you got to go finish. It's the only way to win games on our schedule. It's the only way to, you know, we're going to be able to win meaningful games the rest of the year for us. And so that's first and foremost for us, is we got to finish scoring drives, and we got to have an attitude and an urgency about us to go finish those drives. We have to get more consistent play at the quarterback position and on the offensive line. If we take care of those two things offensively, it should help us finish scoring drives. Then when you look on the defensive side of the ball, we got to be more consistent. We got to be more disciplined with alignment, initial movement. Our secondary had a really good first half. You're not going to completely shut out the amount of talent speed that Lawrence North has. And so, you know, we knew that. We understood that going into it. But what our defense did do was they rallied up and tried to go win the next play. And in the first half, I felt like we were really, really good in that area. And, you know, we got a fourth down stop. They missed a field goal. We held them to 3 points. They had their lowest first half point total. They had their lowest first half yardage total. You know, their quarterback was 4 for 10 in the first half. And then we come out in the second half and got away from some of the things that gave us success in the first half. And that's completely on me for not realizing that completely across the board. And, you know, I felt like, you know, in the second half, because we got away from that, it gave them some free runners. It gave them some open windows to throw the football into and allowed them to play to their strengths offensively, which is pre and post snap reads. And so, you know, we certainly have to be more consistent from a defensive standpoint. But I do feel like we're growing, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We're getting better as a football team day in and day out. And now we got to go find a way to finish.
It was homecoming week last week, as we talked about in the show last week. But now that you went through this homecoming week, how much different was it than in past homecomings?
Well, you know, I think the biggest difference for us was game day. You know, Friday there was no juice or energy. You know, there was no pep session. The game itself, there wasn't the feel of homecoming in any way, shape, or form. It was just another game. And so, you know, I didn't get the sense really that it was homecoming or anything else, to be honest with you. You know, just with everything with the blended schedule right now. Makes it a little bit different to the hybrid schedule that we have. It makes it a little bit different throughout the course of a school week. And then, you know, on Friday, obviously there's not a lot of homecoming based juice, you know, whether it's activities, whether it's pep session, whether it's just the buzz that is normally in the school on that day. And then when you get out to the stadium and you have 1,000 people that you're allowed to let in there, you know, there wasn't a lot of homecoming juice to it. It wasn't a big homecoming feel at all.
And your team is still winless at home, and so why do you feel that is, and do you think part of that is kind of what you just said about the juice and that the energy they bring at home versus going on the road?
No, we played the number 2 team in 6A at home after going 22 weeks without being in the weight room, and so that led in part to week one. You look at week four, we played the number 1 team in the state of Indiana in 6A. We played the number 32 ranked team in the country, and so we were at that point starting to come into our own, starting to do some good things. And so when you look at those first two games, and I'm not making any excuse whatsoever. You know, for us, those were games that were going to come down to the lines of scrimmage, and we weren't there yet. You know, and you can say what you want about COVID, you can say what you want about, you know, going 22 weeks without a weight room, and certainly had an impact on where our program was at that point when we played those two teams. And then, you know, we felt like on Friday we had every opportunity to win the game and didn't. And so for us, you know, it really, where we're playing shouldn't matter as much as getting better day in and day out and being relentless in our pursuit of playing Ben Davis football.
When you do look at that, what are some things you do in practice to try to make the team better? What are some specific types of things do you bring in maybe that have been different? You know, I know you talked about not being able to find success in the red zone. What are some things you do in practice to try to build that up?
We put our offense in the red zone and we force them to go execute, you know, and today was a perfect example. You know, our whole football team understands where we're at from an offensive standpoint. So we went ones-on-ones in the red zone and our offense struggled. And you got to be able to develop an attitude and you got to be able to develop a mindset of toughness down there to want to go finish. And, you know, when you're put on the spot in front of your teammates and in front of the coaches and in front of everybody, you're either going to rise up to the challenge or you're going to fold. And if you're going to fold in practice, you're going to fold in the game. And so for us as a staff, for us as a football team, you know, it's an attitude and a mindset for us that we got to go finish. And, you know, we're trying to make those experiences and practice as real life as we can with the anticipation that's going to make us better down in that area.
All right, that will wrap up this first segment talking about the 27-24 loss versus LN last Friday. We'll take a break and come back and talk about today or this week's game at Carmel. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG.
Do you remember the high school cheer? 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate?
I do. And the high school teams in our community appreciate all of you. They need to hear your voice, loud and proud, more than ever before.
They need your enthusiasm. They need your attendance at their games and meets. And they need for you to follow virus protocols, get a flu shot, so that they can have a great year.
Your positive, supportive voice is appreciated more than you know. I'm Chris Kaufman.
And I'm Sandra Walter. We're both assistant commissioners at the IA. Thank you again for your enthusiastic support of high school sports.
This is passion. This is enthusiasm. This is community pride. This is what high school sports in Indiana are all about. This is your IHSAA.
Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, I'm Zion Brown here with John Easter and Jason Simmons, and we're talking about the game the Giants have this week going to Carmel. The Greyhounds won last week at North Central 38-14. So, Coach, this Greyhound team looks as if they're hitting their stride at the right time. So how hard will it be to slow them down?
Well, you know, for us, it's when you turn the tape on, they're a lot like some other teams we've seen this year. You know, going into the Warren Central game, I thought, man, you know, the Warren Central's done nothing but get better week in and week out, and Carmel's a lot in the same boat. You know, just watching them over the last 3 weeks, and you know they. Starting to find their identity a little bit offensively, starting to find their identity defensively a little bit, and now they're refining it and getting better week in and week out. And, I think it's a testament to Coach Hebert and their coaching staff for what they're doing. And obviously their senior leadership is doing some good things as well. But they're starting to hit their stride. And, they're a dangerous football team when you turn the film on and watch them.
Unlike past years, Carmel now comes south. As opposed to going north, which they have for the last, I don't know how long, since I think they were maybe 2011 or so.
2011,
yes.
Ben Davis and Carmel played in the regional here, yeah.
And that was a two-year deal for that. They'd gone north again. So a little bit different for them as they'll come south. They'll have to take on Brownsburg, Pike, and Avon in that sectional. So with Carmel, they don't have their, I don't want to say free pass, but they don't have as easy of a path, let's say, to the state title this year, the state title game. So what's different about the Greyhounds functionally with their squad this year than maybe some Greyhounds teams that people have seen play at Lucas Oil?
Well, I think when you look at them on film, the one thing that stands out to me is the volume of true triple option that they're running. You know, they do a really good job of using motion to generate a pitch man, using motion to try and change the formation strength and just kind of get your eyes off of where they should be, you know. And when you play an option-based team, which their run game is centered around that pretty heavily, you have to have a lot of discipline and holding your lane. But two, just in reading your key and doing what that key tells you to do. And so, for them, it starts in the run game. You know, Zach Osborne's done a really nice job for them growing as a quarterback throughout the year. He obviously played in the state championship game last year when they had an injury at that position. And he's done nothing but get better as the season has gone on. And their running game is really centered around Zach White. And he's a young man that we saw 2 years ago when we went up there, came in the game, and really gave him a change of pace type of back. He's not a real tall back, but he's a thick physical back that's tough to bring down. That has given good defenses in the MIC. It's given them a handful, to be honest. He's given them a handful, but then you get too fixated on the run and they sneak a wheel out of the backfield on you, or they play action you and they hit a shot down the field. So, you know, they like to use their run game to set up their pass game. You know, they're going to run some play action at you. They're going to try and get you to bite a little bit on that run and try and get behind you in spots. And so you got to be disciplined on the back end as well. I think it's going to be important for us to minimize yards after contact. I think that's going to be critical for us. And then you look at them defensively, and for years they were just a 3-4 team. They'd walk down an outside backer, and they'd slant away from the outside backer, and everybody kind of knew where they were going to be. They just out-executed you at times. And, you know, now they have more pressure packages. They like to bring more pressure. They like to put their guys on the move post snap a little bit more, and so they like to just create angles and space and try and get a free runner and try and be as disruptive as they can. I think early in the season they were searching for an identity as far as their defensive line goes, but they've established that, and then they've done a nice job building depth up front, and they got some guys that play hard and that play well together as a unit, and that are really disruptive. And so for us, we're going to have to make sure that we we're on top of it Friday.
Carmel kicker Spencer Hanna is yet to miss on a field goal or a PAT this year. So how much of a game changer can a place kicker like that be?
Well, if you get into his range, it can certainly be it can be troublesome. And so, for us, we're going to have to make sure we try and keep them out of that scoring zone, get a feel for what the wind is like, get a feel for what the stadium is like. We were up there 2 years ago, and the first half was awesome. We come out after halftime, and the wind went up about 20 degrees.
We were talking about that game. It was just the other day.
Yeah.
It was just a weird weather night because you came out from half, and the wind all of a sudden was a huge factor in the game, I felt like. And so, I mean, it's a little different. You just got to get a feel for it. You watch him on tape, and, you know, he could probably hit a touchback every time he kicked off if he wanted to. I think they intentionally put the ball down inside the five just to try and trap return teams inside the 20. Their kickoff team is really good, and I think the functionality of it allows him to kind of put the ball. He has the ability to put the ball where he wants to put it, and then they build the coverage around that functionality. And so, you know, you got to be smart, and you got to be sound in the kickoff return game to make sure that you get the ball out past the 20. And then, you know, from an offensive standpoint, you got to try and minimize their opportunities to get down in the scoring zone.
Well, Coach, you mentioned the weather, so that leads me right into what I was going to ask, because it always seems like this game, for some reason, whatever it's been on the schedule, or that first game in October, always seems like the cold weather comes in. And it's not going to be frigid on Friday night, but certainly the temperatures are right now, the forecast here on Tuesday, as we're recording this show and broadcasting it live on Tuesday, the forecast says it's supposed to be maybe in the upper 30s that evening, maybe the 40s during kickoff, which is certainly cooler than it has been. So is there anything that you do to prepare your team for something like that?
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing we can do right now is talk to our guys about it. You know, we played in cold weather before. The majority of them have. You know, a year ago, you played deep enough in the tournament in Indiana, you're going to be in cold weather. You know, we went out last year in a driving snowstorm that ended up freezing on our field. And, you know, so we've been in worse, you know, is the reminder that we've given them twice this week. You can undersell it and you can oversell it. And what we've tried to do is really stay as neutral as we can in talking about the weather and just tell our guys, you just got to be prepared. You know, here's what they're saying the temperature is going to be. We got to be able to control what we can control. If we're more worried about the weather than we are getting stops and scoring points, we're going to be in trouble anyway. No matter what, it could be 80 and sunny and we're going to be in trouble. So we got to go in there with our minds fixated on doing our job to the best of our ability and taking care of business.
But largely this year, you've had very, very good weather. I think Kyle Nedenrip, and I blame this on him if something changes, but Kyle Nedenrip said that on Twitter last week that the Indiana weather is 6-0 so far.
Yeah.
So if it changes, it's on Kyle. It's not on me.
Yeah, it's on Kyle. I'm sure a lot of people have made that mistake of jinxing us a little bit. But, you know, I think we have been blessed. And you know, I'm sure we'll continue to have some good nights. And, you know, we're going to take the weather in stride and take it as it comes. And you know, that's something we don't have any control over. You know, we have control over how we play and how physical we are and, you know, how hard we play. We don't have control over the weather.
The weather switch at Giant Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Your last two games have really come down to the wire, and looking at this game on Friday, we could be in for another good close game. So how vital is it to practice and just to be ready to be able to perform in those clutch time situations?
Yeah, it's probably the advantage. If it does come down to the fourth quarter and it is a one possession game in the fourth quarter, you know, we've had the opportunity to play in two of those here in back to back weeks, and the only thing we can trust is that we're learning from those experiences. Yeah, you know, I feel like we are. Certainly know we are as a coaching staff and learning more about our kids and those experiences and those opportunities. And you know, we got to be able to do the same. We got to continue to do the same right now as players too, and coach our guys through them and keep coaching hard and keep playing hard and, you know, and give ourselves every opportunity we can to be successful.
As you look at this rivalry between Ben Davis and Carmel, it's really kind of a remarkable thing. It's been pretty much either tied or Ben Davis has been leading now for the last 25 years. When you go back in this rivalry, back to 1995, that's the last time that Carmel had a lead. But since then, it's been tied five times. Right now, the Giants are up one in the rivalry. So, I mean, it's kind of just kind of ping-ponged back and forth. And, you know, the teams have played really big games. We talked about the regional few years ago, which was just a sensational game. The Giants ended up losing that one. Played at State, where the Giants got down 17-0 in that game, came back, and obviously we know what happened before Carmel knew what happened. It seems like the Giants are up 42-17. There have been great turnarounds in this game. I remember a game a few years back where Ben Davis was down 24-0, came all the way back and won, beat Carmel here on this field. So this has been this rivalry is always competitive. It's very rare that either team gets way out in front of each other. It's usually one of those big bang, hard knocking, kind of slobber knocking football games. So, you know, I always ask you about the historical perspective. So what's your perspective on this rivalry?
Well, I think in the 7 years that I've been a part of it, as a staff member and at Ben Davis, it's, I think in all 7 years, it's been a one or two possession game. You know, in 2006, don't remember much about it. We were up at, I think we were up at Carmel in 06, 07, we were here, hit a trick play late to win it. 08.
I remember that.
Yeah, we had that one dialed up. 2008, we went up there and played in a tight game and had success up there in 2008. So, you know, when you look at this rivalry, it's not unlike, you know, anytime you put two MIC teams together, you're going to have tough physical football games. And I think there's a lot of mutual respect between our coaching staffs. There's a lot of mutual respect between our kids. And really, there's just two programs that are just going to line up and play ball. And, you know, I think that's where the respect lies. Certainly, we have a lot of respect for their coaching staff and how hard their kids play. And so, you know, for us, it's another MIC game, you know, and it's another test for us to see where we're at and see how much growth and progress we've made over the last week, and one that we're certainly looking forward to.
It's also the third longest consecutively played rivalry on the schedule, because Warren obviously goes back to 1937, North Central to 1958, and then Carmel is 1981. Okay. So the Giants, and I mean, that's 39 straight years.
Yeah, we've been playing a long time then, is what that means. So, you know, it's an opportunity for us to see where we're at, and we're looking forward to it. And this rivalry has produced a lot of big moments. And a lot of big games over the years for a lot of people. And you look at the history of the two programs, and there's no doubt why. There's no doubt why.
And just in preparation for this Carmel team, what are some few areas of their squad that concerns you the most heading into Friday?
Well, it starts with playing great run defense up front. We got to be assignment sound. We got to have great eye discipline. We got to handle each phase of the option. We can't be negligent in one area and trust that, you know, they're not going to put the ball in that area on that individual play. And so, when you play an option-based team, it's going to force you to play assignment football. So we certainly have to do that. Have to keep their wide receivers in front of us, especially in play-action opportunities. We can't get greedy, just go bury ourselves to the point that they slip it back out of the backfield on a wheel route, or they hit a shot over the top of us. And then offensively, we got to handle pressure. We got to handle pressure, and we got to finish drives. We're going to be in a situation where both those things are going to determine how successful we are, and we know that going into it. And so we're either going to rise up and take the challenge on head on and take it on like Giants, or we're going to have to find somebody that will.
Thank you so much, Coach, for joining us as always. Thank you all for listening, and do not forget, on Friday night, to tune in, starting with the pregame show at 6:15. And then around 7 will be the kickoff. Jackson White and myself, Zion Brown, will be on the call for that one. Thank you for listening. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.